welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, praise God. So good to get in the presence of God like that and just let the Holy Spirit just minister. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will do things in your heart and you don't even know exactly what's going on in there. All you know is that there's stuff going on in there. You know, there's a peace that passes your understanding, and there's a work of the Holy Spirit that passes our understanding too. It's amazing how you can bring your car into a shop and it just has maybe a funny sound on the engine. And you get it back and the sound is gone and they fix the knock and it's clean and it's nice and it's good. And you don't know what they did. And you're fine with that. All you know is it's gone. You know, he's the healer of a broken heart. He can fix knocks in a heart that's broken. And you can go into his shop in the presence of God and experience some things and you don't even know what he's doing in there. You don't know how he does what he does. You just know he's doing what he does. There's an anointing he has to heal a broken heart, and I don't have to understand it. You know, a lot of times we feel like I got to understand and know everything, and I got to be able to reconcile everything for wholeness. You don't. You can know some things, but you don't have to know everything. You can just get in the presence of God and let him do what he does, and you come out, and there's a wholeness. In the same way I couldn't explain what that mechanic did to my car. I can't explain what the Holy Spirit does to my heart. I can't articulate it. I don't have to. I can just yield and let him do what he does. I just sensed that happening this morning. I just feel like there was some hearts that the Lord went under the hood on some hearts this morning and just began to do some healing and some work. And don't feel like you got to figure it out. You don't. Just, you know, say thank you, Lord. And if there's something you want to show me, great. But, you know, hallelujah. You go into the presence of God one way and you come out another way and it's so good. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. You know, this is the time, you know, of Nero and all the horrific things that are happening to Christians and the persecution at this time. But Peter admonishes them. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." That's exactly what Jesus said would happen. He told Thomas, he said, you know, "You believe, Thomas, because you've seen me," he said, "but blessed are those who don't see and yet still believe." He was talking about a blessing that we see here, a blessing that we've experienced. I've never seen Jesus with my eyes, and yet his reality and his presence has been so real, and the joy of the Lord has been so real, it's as though he was right there, and I was seeing him face to face in the Spirit, if you know what I mean. Here's a few other translations of that verse from 1 Peter. "You love him passionately, although you did not see him. But through believing in him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory." You just, even in worship this morning, you just experience the presence of God, just yielding. Don't see him with these eyes, but man, he's real. He's there. And the message, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing you'll get what you're looking for, forward to, total salvation. There is an expectancy. There is a joy. There is an experience that we have in God as we're believing him and as we're looking to him. You know, a lot of times when we think of the Christian experience, and there's a lot of things that we preach and minister and share. We walk by faith and not by sight. You know, there is a suffering in the flesh that we experience to cease from sin, to do the will of God. There is a discipline side of all these things that are absolutely true, that are absolutely part of being a disciple of Christ. It's the essence of being a disciple. There's a spiritual discipline side of that. But there's also something that comes within that spiritual discipline that's interwoven. There are experiences in God, experiences of the Holy Spirit, where you experience, I don't see Him, but I'm experiencing a joy. Things of the Spirit that are real. And I've just had this phrase crop up in my heart throughout my Christian walk by the Holy Ghost. I believe He'll just prompt me and I'll just say it out loud. Spiritual things are real. Of course, you'd get that right on a test if you had to be graded on it, but just the reality of it. And this morning, that's what I want to minister along the lines of. Spiritual things are real. They're absolutely 100%, you know, that which is seen came from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is more real than the physical realm. The physical realm was birthed from the spirit realm. And this morning, sometimes that reminder, that perspective, that reality can make all the difference in the world. There was a great song that came out, I don't know how many years ago this was, but this chorus is always stuck in my heart. It goes like this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. I want to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Spiritual things are real. They're real. It's not just a matter of I perceive it, I feel, I think. No, it's tangible. It's real in that tangible spiritual sense. And when you read the Bible, you read the Bible, it is written, the Bible's a spiritual book, and it's written to spiritual men and women. And as you read it, you realize the practical way the Scripture will just declare the reality of spiritual truth, just as though you're reading a natural book on maps and topography and things of a natural geographical location. The Scripture will begin to pour out spiritual language and describe what's going on in the heart and the mind of man, just as practical as you would read a natural book. Spiritual things are real. And this morning, I just want to take a look at a few aspects of what that means. And I'm just believing, Father, I just pray that by the Spirit of God, that each one of us will have a special experience of Your Spirit, that we will see, know, and perceive like never before the reality of these things we believe, Father God. Not just faith, not just hope, but experiences of Your Spirit, experiences of seeing these things that we know are true. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go ahead and start. Spiritual things are real. Spiritual eyes that can see our spiritual realities. This is a great story from the Old Testament. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, we will mobilize our forces at such and such a place. But immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, don't go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It is not us, my lord, the king. One of the officers replied, Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is, the king commanded, so I can send troops to seize him. And the report came back, Elijah is at Dothan. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than are on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Wow, what a powerful story. They were both looking, but they were both seeing two different things. Spiritual things are real. I like how Jody brought out about Jehoshaphat and sending forth the praisers and just that reality where you're going to go into battle and you're going into battle. And to do that, you've got to believe spiritual things are real. God commanded them to send forth the praisers. They knew that it wasn't going to be by their might or by their power. It was a way that they were showing their trust in the Lord. And here we see, again, just a beautiful story where you got a guy who's looking naturally and a guy who's looking spiritually. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul kind of prays a prayer over all of us that's a lot like the way Elijah prayed over his servant. "Lord, open his eyes." So here's the Apostle Paul's "Lord, open our eyes" prayer, you could say. He said, this is Ephesians chapter 1. He said, "I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power." He's talking, he's praying to people, he's praying for people who already know the Lord. He's praying that they'll see what they already have. He's not praying for them to get something. He's praying that their eyes would be opened, that they can see what they already have. Spiritual things are real. And this is where spiritual things need to be real for this to make sense, for this to matter, to get traction, to make differences in our life, to answer questions, to get us free and get us out of our own thinking sometimes. Praying for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would see something. He's saying, the hope of his calling, riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, but the exceeding greatness of his power that's working toward us who believe right now. It's kind of the way the Apostle Paul is saying, there is more with you. You know, a lot of times we think, I got the flesh, the world, and the devil. Yeah, you do. We all do. But there's more with you than your flesh, the world, and the devil. Let's take a look at it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I got the devil who goes about as a roaring lion. And I got, yeah, but he that is in you is greater. There is more with you than there is with the enemy. There is a certain sense that spiritual things are real that we got to get stirred up in, because if spiritual things aren't real, you try to get all spiritual, but you're all in your head. There is a faith switch that you begin to, by faith, realize, wait now, he that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. The pressure isn't all up here to have to figure out and resolve. There's a trust. Spiritual things are real. Lord, you are in me. You're greater than the enemy. When I'm resisting the devil, it's not Ed House resisting the devil. I'm resisting him steadfast in the faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the armor of God. I'm resisting him from his ability. My flesh, oh my goodness. What is the Apostle Paul here basically saying? Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made you free from the law of sin and death. In other words, yeah, we've got our flesh, we've got the pull of the body, we've got things that are wig-wagging us different ways, but he, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is greater than the law of sin and death. These are just some simple exhortations that we go through the Word of God and say, spiritual things are real. So it's not just a matter of my discipline or my willpower. We found under the law that willpower and good intentions couldn't cut it. We needed something else more than willpower and good intentions. You know, even Peter on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said, I'll die with you. Good intentions, Peter. But when push came to shove, he didn't have what it takes. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. That's why the promise to walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What Spirit? The law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's just a recalibrating. I can go, you can take any one of these and go, you know, deep, all right? And I'm intentionally not. I'm kind of flying over here and I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit can maybe highlight some things that maybe you're dealing with that you need to be aware that, hey, whatever that is, if it's a spiritual demonic attack, he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. If there's something in my flesh, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I can walk in that Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not just a matter that the Spirit, that the flesh despises, has a strong desire against the things of the Spirit. The Spirit has a strong desire against the things of the flesh. I can't try to make myself not like the things of the flesh in a mortal body. I got to walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when I stir up the Spirit, it's like, wow, I don't want that. And it's like, cool. It's the Spirit of God. Yeah. Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you don't like that. And I'm just under your influence. That's why it says, it likens the Holy Ghost to drinking, you know? Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be, kind of allegorically, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like you come under the influence of two spirits. You know, alcohol has that connotation of spirits for alcohol and coming under the influence of those spirits. But there's another spirit that you can drink and come under the influence of. When you come under the influence of alcohol, you end up doing things that you wouldn't have done had you not been under that influence. You cross lines you wouldn't have crossed without being under that influence. When you come under this influence of the Holy Spirit, man, you can do things that you couldn't do when you're not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You can say no. You can walk away from things. You can look through things. You can see through things because you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. The law of the Spirit of life is greater than the law of sin and death. Spiritual things are real. And what I'm saying is, let's get stirred up and remember. I've experienced that. And maybe they're just little sparks. I know that. I know what you're talking about. I've experienced that there. A lot of times, I like to say, because it's true, new believers walk in the Spirit better accidentally than a lot of us who've been living for God for a long time. Because what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It just means to set your mind on things above. It means to let your world be full of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and prayer. And when a new believer comes in, it's like, wow, it's all new. And it's like, man, this is amazing. They haven't even had their first Why God experience yet. But they're just all in love and just all in for God. And they're experiencing things. And it's powerful. And then, you know, things happen and pretty soon something happens and they have to learn to grow and all of a sudden they're beginning to fight guilt and shame. Am I even saved? Am I still a Christian? Oh yeah, I still am a Christian. So they kind of go through that spiritual growth process, but as we do it, we can kind of forget where we've come from. And that's where in the book of Revelations, the Lord tells the church, return to your first love. He's not saying return to your baby spiritual maturity. He's not telling them to return to a maturity and immaturity. He's telling them to return to that first awe and wonder and love. And you know who he's telling that? He's telling that to the church that was calling out the false prophets, the church that was calling and seeing through the junk and the corruption that was taking place in the church, whose theology was really good and they were right. But if they didn't return to their first love, they would lose their candlestick. It wasn't good enough to have good theology and correctly call things out. That's not good enough. If you want light and you want influence, you have to return to your first love. You got to return to that awe and wonder of Jesus. That's why I love our praise and worship team. I don't compare, but I'll just say we got a great praise and worship team. And when they go into the presence of God, yeah, amen. You can tell they're already seeing it before you see it. They're already seeing things by faith. And it's like, I just like to say this. They're going to go into the presence of God whether you go or not, right? They're going, you know, it's up to you, but there's that heart, there's that seeing, there's that knowing, and that's that faith. You can tell by there's an expectancy in that. And there is a certain expectancy that we return to by faith. And it doesn't just stop at expectancy, you experience something. We experienced something this morning in worship. We experienced something of the gratitude and the presence of God that touches your heart. that gets deeper than just true correct theology. It's something that ministers to you. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is like the checkmate scripture right here. You know, with God, all things are possible. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The Apostle Paul is praying that we'd get a spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us who believe. How great is that power, Paul? It is so great that it is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. There's a certain checkmate in the power of God that we can find rest. Now, when it comes to stuff like this, man, it is true, it is powerful. We get glimpses and pieces. We don't see everything perfectly all at once. But man, we begin to see things that relate to our situations, our circumstances. And this is, to me, one of the big ones as it relates to spiritual things are real and seeing with the eyes of the Spirit. This promise. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Past tense. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Present tense. What are we talking about? Spiritual things are real. The new birth is a spiritual thing, and it is real. And this is one of those things that we get stirred up, and we need to get stirred up into remembering, this is who I am on the inside. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I like to relate my personal experience when I'm, you know, just beating like anybody else. You miss it and you're feeling bad and you're beating yourself up. And I just remember thinking, well, I guess that's just who I am. And the Spirit of God correcting me and saying, that's not who you are. And it was like I could see in the Spirit, just like a glimpse, a flash of just my glorified new creation self, you know, just in a moment and saying, that's who you are. And all of a sudden, I just realized, and then he said this, instructing me. He said, that thing came at you from the outside. That temptation, that sin, it had to come at you from the outside because you're a new creation. You are a new creation. Now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the old creation say I'm a new creation. Let the old man say I'm new because of what the Lord has done. The old has passed away. Give thanks with a grateful heart. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Now, that's what happened in your spirit. Again, spiritual things are real, but there's a process of renewing your mind. That takes time. Have you ever delved into one of those 5,000-piece puzzles where it's like spread out and you got the big cardboard thing or whatever and you're just trying to get the border. You're just trying to figure out where this thing ends and the skyline and all that. And then somebody might take a little project on a clump of trees and one would take a project on a clump of building or something like that. And you're looking at this thing and you know what it's going to look like before it's even done. You got a beautiful picture. That's what we got going on here too. We already know what the box looks like. It's a new creation. All right? We know what this thing's going to look like when we're done. It's a big puzzle. But there are pieces that we're still putting together up here. All right? And as you're beginning to see things, things begin to plop into place. And all of a sudden, there can be an area of shame. And that, no, I see that I'm a new creation. They are praised. No way. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Forgiven, cleansed, go on. You know, I'm going to walk in that place of seeing who I am, declaring who I am. And again, this is what the Lord has done. This isn't positive thinking, right? In other words, if there really wasn't a new birth, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to, in essence, you got to become a new creation, he was basically saying here. The old has got to pass away and all has got to become new so we can walk in a fellowship with each other. In essence, that's what Jesus was saying. If there's no real true spiritual birth here, then yeah, all you're dealing with is a bunch of mind over matter, positive affirmation, thinking hopeful, all that. But that's not the case. This has a backing. These words are backed by the reality of the new birth. Some of you might remember the old currency in the days where, You know, now our currency is backed by the trust of the government, okay? But in the olden days, our currency was backed by something of substance, mineral, silver, and gold. It wasn't just a $10 bill or a $5 bill. It was a $5 silver certificate. In other words, if I had any doubt, I could go to the bank and they would weigh out $5 worth of silver for me. In other words, that note is backed by something of substance. These words of this covenant are backed by the substance of our crucified and risen Savior. They're ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when we lifted up this cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. We're reading the new covenant here that was shed and that is backed by the blood of Jesus Christ. These words are true. In other words, we can go there, not in fantasy, but go there in faith, knowing that this is what God has said. Man, spiritual things are real. And sometimes when you let yourself go there and say, I believe it, Lord, I believe I'm a new creation. Man, it changes everything. All of a sudden, when you begin to see yourself that way, it changes the way you carry yourself. I brought it up a lot of times in my car. If I got a dirty car and I'm driving through McDonald's, what's another McDonald's wrapper? But I get that car all cleaned up, auto detailed, nice new car smell, and I drive through McDonald's, that wrapper is not going on the bottom of the car. I'm keeping that car clean because it's clean. That's what a revelation of the new creation does too. It maintains a sense of clean in you too. I am clean. This is who I am. My puzzle doesn't look great right now. There's some hodgepodge stuff. I see some things, but there's some gaps in there, right? That's okay. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And it is a process. But the Spirit's immediate, so I don't judge who I am by the puzzle right now, right? I look past the puzzle. I look at the picture on the puzzle. See, that's me. I'm catching up. But that's what God did in me. The renewing of my mind are individual decisions that I got to make throughout my life, whether I'm going to choose to believe or not. That's the work of being transformed, what we'd call sanctification, or things that I'm making choices and decisions. But this, the picture, was done by Christ. And so I can look at that and say, yeah, that's who I am. Praise God. Puzzle, you're coming together. You're going to look a little bit more like that guy on the inside as you continue to see things and choose to believe that spiritual things are real. Finally, spiritual awareness. So, there's kind of a spiritual reality side where we believe that he that is in me, there's more with us than there are with them. And that's kind of the essence of what we were trying to just come through. We're the same thing. You know, it's like the Apostle Paul is like Elisha. And we're like Elisha's servant saying, what are we going to do now? And Paul is saying, Lord, open their eyes. Let them see that he that is in them is greater than he that's in the world, can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. See the finished work of the new creation that's already done on the inside. All right. The other aspect of this, though, is spiritual awareness. And we're just talking about the reality of spiritual things. There are spiritual eyes that can see spiritual realities, but there's also a spiritual awareness that can sense the presence of God. And that isn't just a revelation. That's not just a piece of the puzzle. It's bigger than even that. You know, there's that process of putting the puzzle together, but this isn't just puzzle pieces. This is a person. This is an awareness of the presence of God, that no matter where you are in your puzzle, and no matter what, you know that he's with you. There's a spiritual reality of that presence of God. Here's a beautiful story from the New Testament that I think kind of captures that as well too. It kind of starts out, this is after the resurrection. So Jesus has been raised from the dead, but he really hasn't revealed himself yet. And there's two guys that are walking down a road. They're going, you might hear, if you know the story, the road to Emmaus. So they're going on this road toward Emmaus. And they're just so sad and they're grieved. And Jesus comes by and it says that he hid their eyes so they couldn't tell it was him. And he said, what are you guys so sad about? He said, haven't you heard? Are you the only one, you know, in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's been going on these last few days? He goes, oh, what, you know? And he said, this Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was the one, you know, and they took him and they crucified him and they were so distraught. And then, you know, Jesus said, you know, you guys are just, don't you know what the prophet said? Don't you realize the prophet said that this would have to happen? And then he took them and walked them through the law and the prophets and explained to them why everything had to happen the way it happened. That was the first Easter sermon that was ever preached. Jesus preaching to those two guys in the road to Emmaus, explaining to them the need for Jesus to go through that. And so the story kind of picks up here.
By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he was going to go on. But they begged him, stay the night with us, since it is getting late. So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Oh, I love that. This is a beautiful picture of the presence of God. In other words, their eyes were opened and they saw it was Jesus. But what did they say once they saw him? They said, didn't our hearts burn while he talked? In other words, yeah, we've seen him, but our hearts were burning before we ever saw him. They were already burning when he was talking to us about the scriptures. There was something about what he was saying and the way he was saying it that was causing our hearts to burn, and we still didn't know who he was at the time. There was a companionship that they had with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were experiencing the presence of God, and they didn't even quite realize or understand or know why. Man, you can experience that. You can experience that in your prayer time, your devotion time, your quiet time, second sermon of the Holy Spirit, church time, whatever time, wherever you are. There is a ministry of the Holy Spirit making these words real. There's a sense, the Holy Spirit is there to literally amen the things of the Spirit of God. I love how Peter puts it here. He says, he's given to you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, that so that through the power of these tremendous promises, I love this word experience, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you've escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. In other words, they were walking with Jesus in the flesh, in the person. We have the written word of God. But that written word of God was authored by the Spirit of God and bears witness with our spirit. And so as you begin to walk in the promises of God, you experience a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a matter of God promised this. There's relationship in that. There's a beautiful relationship you have with the Word of God as you begin to experience the promises of God, as you experience freedom. Jesus kind of put this verse a different way in his words in John 8. He said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. There will be an intimacy you'll have with that truth, and that truth will make you free. In other words, there's this beautiful relationship with God that a lot of times the world and sometimes believers don't even quite understand. It's like the book, the promises, I got to do this, I got to get educated, do this, and get freedom. Nah, there's a partnership with the Holy Spirit in the promises. There's a relationship with God. There's a presence of God in these promises. There's something you experience of Him when you begin to look, open this book and read these promises in this Word. There's this person that comes through these words. There's this person that comes through this book. There's something of Him you fall in love with. There's something of Him. It's a beautiful thing. And you experience that partnership. Jesus described it this way. When the Spirit of truth has come, He's going to guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He'll speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's why it's so beautiful. Remember Jesus said, I don't say anything except that which the Father has told me to say. The Holy Spirit came into that same role and said, I don't say anything, not on my own authority, except what Jesus tells me to say. And that's why when you get things of the Holy Spirit, there's the presence of Jesus is all over it. The Holy Spirit is communicating. Jesus said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're experiencing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is something beautiful and powerful about the presence of God. That's why you get a scripture like this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That is such a powerful truth. There was a guy named Brother Lawrence who had a collection of his sayings and dialogues captured in a book called Practicing the Presence of God. And I so love the heart of that book because, now he wasn't a monk per se. He was like a lay person who lived and worked in a monastery with monks. And yet he had this heart and this presence, this walk with the Lord that was probably a little uncharacteristic maybe for a monastery, but he didn't really adhere to strict times of prayer. That was not his overarching thing when it came to the presence of God. His idea was just to practice the presence of God throughout the day. Challenge himself to see Jesus throughout his day. He said in the most mundane things when he's peeling potatoes in the kitchen, I see Jesus. His presence is with me. Nothing's changed. It doesn't happen at that point in time. Sometimes we can think, did I have my devotion time? Did I have my devotion time? Am I loving God? Am I doing it? In the time that we, you know, think about and wonder, did I have my devotion time and all that? Brother Lawrence would be taking that time and looking at Jesus and saying, "Hi, Jesus, hallelujah, praise God, good to see you, hallelujah." It wasn't like a box he was checking. It was, he was practicing being aware of the presence of God. In fact, that was his, the presence of God was an uninterrupted, habitual sense of his company. That's what it was. That's how he defined it. It's just this constant realization, he's there. No matter where I go, he is there. And he loves me, and he's for me. And he would say too, he'd say when he's dealing with failure, he said, "Return to God immediately, without self-reproach and excessive guilt. Come back to God. Come back to his presence." There's something about just letting yourself go there where you're in the presence of God that'll get your heart right to want to do the right thing, to go right, to live right. But you've got to go there. If you're just kind of trying to serve him from the head, no, his presence is real. Spiritual things are real. He really does live in us. We really are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Go there. That's what Brother Lawrence was basically saying. It was that deal where you were just going to go there, go in the presence of God. And again, if you miss it, it's like in a car race. You know, if a guy blows a tire, he's going to go to a pit stop. And if he's got a good pit crew, they're going to get him back on the race as fast as he can. Do you got to go to the pit stop? Yeah, you got to get your tire fixed. But you're not there to stay there, to live there, to mourn there, to tell your story 500 times there. No. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not to sin again, but to serve the living God. That's why. And you get that sense. When your conscience is clean, like I said, my car is clean. I don't need somebody to say don't throw. When you're clean, you know you're clean. You like clean. There is nothing more motivating. The kindness of God leads you to repentance. But then that cleanness, it's like, yeah, I want to keep a clean conscience. I want to keep a clean car. Hallelujah. And so you're going in that place, but there is that place, that sense of his presence where you're living and you're walking in the presence of God. So this morning, you know, the heart of the message this morning is just spiritual things are real. He gives us spiritual eyes to see what already belongs to us. He gives us spiritual eyes to see the picture on that puzzle already completed and finished. Yeah, we got a work in progress going on up here, but we can look at that picture. And what does the Bible say? It says, as we behold him, we become transformed more into that image as we're beholding him and we're looking there. And then there's a spiritual awareness of the presence of God. It's not just a box that I check. It's not just something that I do. He's with me all the time. And it's not cheating to at any time, like Brother Lawrence would do, just acknowledge him. And he said, what Brother Lawrence would do too, he said, don't obsess in the head. Don't feel like you got to see it perfectly in your mind. Just make a simple adjustment in your heart and see his kind face. Make it so easy. Easy, easy, easy. He's there. You're not having to accomplish anything for him to be there. He's already there. All you're doing is acknowledging he's there. That's it. And when you acknowledge him, his presence begins to get real. His spirit will say, yeah, that's true. He's there. He's there. Well, Julie wrote a song kind of along the lines of the presence of God, and I thought it would be a good fit for the message this morning. So I'll have Julie minister that to us now.
I'll stay in your dwelling place forever. It's the only place I want to be. In your presence, sharing sweet communion, where my heart is safely held and free. If home is where the heart is, then you
Spiritual things are real. I'm not talking about emotional things. I'm talking about spiritual things. The presence of God. Our emotions catch up. But the Spirit is real. The Spirit of God is real. He loves you. He's for you. He's with you. Father, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our heart, that we would see you, perceive you like never before, in those little moments of the day, to go there, to see who you are, to see who you are in us, to see ourselves in you, to no longer regard ourselves according to the flesh. You've told us to not regard ourselves according to the flesh, but to regard ourselves according to the new creation. Oh, Father, I just pray that for each one here this morning, that we hear that admonition to see what you've done in us. Yeah, there's a picture in progress. Yeah, our mind is catching up, but it's done. You've completed the work in our spirit. It's why we can rejoice with joy unspeakable. It's why we can experience your presence. Oh, Lord, thank you. We are so grateful this morning for what you've done. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Hear your presence, that our hearts would burn within us, Lord, as we hear those words of the Spirit that you pass along to us as our Lord. Oh, that we would see your presence in every scripture and every promise, that we would experience partnership with the Holy Spirit, that we would sense your personality coming through the Word of God, talking to us. Oh, spiritual things are real. Father, I pray for each one here, each one watching online, for an experience of your Spirit. Blessed are those who don't see and yet still believe. There's a blessing with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, there's a revelation that causes our eyes to see there's more with us than there is with the flesh, the world, and the devil. We don't have to live defeated and afraid. We can see what you've done, Lord. We are so grateful this morning. I just pray that you will make this real in each of our hearts, Father, throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Like I said, the puzzle process is a work in progress, and our puzzles all look a little different. And you might have some pieces of the puzzle that I don't have. I might have some pieces you don't have. And, you know, we're all growing. We're all getting stuff. But, man, don't give up on that puzzle. Don't give up on what God is doing in you. Look at those places and see what God has done by His Spirit. Amen. Praise God.